a priest, was in a war-torn city. Virtually everything had been destroyed, and it was chaotic, despotic, and it was full of fear. And a film crew came to him and sought him out in the desperation. And the interviewer said to the priest, he said, "Well, why are you still here?" And the priest thought for a time, and he said this. He said, "I'm here because I do not want the rumor of God to disappear altogether. I do not want the rumor of God to disappear altogether." As Barbara and I were coming back on the M4 yesterday from Devon, I saw a wonderful camper van with signs on it, and it said this. It said, "Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing." The rumor of God not to disappear altogether. Don't stop believing. I say that because if you're not familiar with the story of Jeremiah, maybe you've never ever read the book of Jeremiah. It's worth reading. Because here is a prophet 600 years before Jesus, and he's speaking to a people who are destitute, they're in exile. They've been overcome by the Babylonians, and the people have been taken to Babylon. And they believe that the rumor of God has disappeared. They haven't got much to believe in anymore. And what can they trust? And all the way through the book of Jeremiah, there's a lament. And Jeremiah points to them and says, "You know, you trusted idolatry rather than God. You went away from the first covenant that God established with you at Sinai." It's in the story here that we've read today. "And now this is the reason that you're in this situation of desolation, homeless, no place really to lay your head, no place to build your homes. A migrant people who are far away from the God that they believe in and the land that they originally lived in." It's a familiar story even for our day, and it's in our news daily. The story of destitute people and migration and the removal of people's hearts from ultimate things, certainly belief in God. And Jeremiah, right through the whole book, is a lament. He calls them back to God. And then ultimately he says in our reading today that he will write a new covenant and it will be in their hearts, that they will find a new relationship with God that will not be based on the old order, but a new discovery of who he really is, and they will know him. And the early Christian church took this passage and these prophecies of Jeremiah to refer to themselves, a new covenant, a new people where God was named and it would be on his hearts and not just in words. It would be real. The promise came true in Jesus. The rumor of God had disappeared altogether. They have nothing really perhaps to believe in. Barbara and I went to a place called Salcombe for 3 days. It's a very affluent part of the United Kingdom, Devon. It struck me that it was full of baby boomers. Baby boomers are those people who are in between the age of 60 and 80. So if you're in that category, between 60 and 80, you're a baby boomer. You were born at a time when after the war, or just after, there was a huge growth in wealth, a new attitude, a new sense of commitment to industry, and the country grew. Baby boomers, affluence. As I went to the place, it was noticeable the baby boomers walked everywhere and they spent their money often on very trivial things in this affluent seaside resort, like expensive clothing and an excess of gin. But I noticed that I went to our little hotel that we were in. As soon as I got into the room, I pulled the drawer by the bedside to look for what? Any idea? A what? A Bible, a Gideon's Bible. Do you think there was a Bible there? No. And that made me think, well, what's happened to the rumor of God? In post-Christian Britain, what do people now hold on to and believe in? What can they trust? For me, these baby boomers often were spending money because they're affluent. These are the people that go on saga holidays, lavish cruises. By the way, they've worked hard for it, so don't get me wrong. They've got money to spend. But I thought to myself, if this is all that you've got at the end, the baby boomers, what is it all about? Maybe the rumor of God has departed from their life also. So the great thing about Jeremiah, he says, come back. I will write to you a new covenant where the name of God would be on your heart. And he says, they will know the Lord. They will know the Lord. How do you manage in a world where the rumor of God seems to have disappeared? Maybe from your family life, from our schools, from government, from the royal family, who knows? How do we manage in a world where that appears to happen? Well, the other two readings give us a very clear indicator. In 2 Timothy, if you look at it, take it with you. Paul says to Timothy, get back to sound Christian teaching. Get back to the scriptures. Base your life on the scriptures. Get back to God's word. Build your life on that. Don't look out for the latest idea and the latest thing maybe that gives you a bit of, it says, makes your ears so pick up. No, go for things that you've known in the past that you've trusted. Go back to God's word. And stir up the gift of evangelist. One of the things that we need desperately in our own day are evangelists who are willing to boldly speak about God's word in order to overturn the belief that there is no longer a God and the rumor of God has disappeared. So that means that all of us need to speak up and speak up and speak out for our Christian faith. We need to be bold in our workplace to talk about Jesus. We need to be bold and say to others that I am a Christian and I believe in Christian values that affect family life and business life and politics and medicine and all aspects of our life, that we are Christian and we believe in it. And we don't just hold back, we become evangelists that are basing our life on the teaching of Jesus. In 2 Timothy it says, base your life on the scriptures. And then the second thing, how do we live in a world like this Jesus says of the widow, she was persistent in prayer. She kept going in prayer. Despite the indifference of the judge, she kept going back. And it was her persistence that gave the response ultimately. And the same is true for us, that in a world that seems indifferent, if we are persistent, despite the apathy, if we base our life on scripture and we become evangelists and we are persistent in prayer, then things will change. And he will write his gospel in our own hearts again. And we will rediscover its power. And by the way, many of you perhaps have prayed for a long time and been persistent and not had an answer. Augustine says that sometimes God delays the answer. God delays the answer in order to make our hearts bigger. So in the longing, there is an expansion. So maybe there are people here today who've prayed for something for a very long time and not received an answer. I would encourage you to keep going. Let your heart expand. Don't shrivel. Because maybe one day he will give you the answer. We live in a world that's post-Christian. We live in a world where the rumor of God seems to be disappearing fast. We live in a world where the hotels have drawers that do not have a Bible any longer. But nevertheless, we remain persistent in prayer. We base our life on Christian teaching and we become evangelists. That's the story. This last week I went to see the head teacher of Rooksheath School. That's our secondary school, just very close to here. Good number of thousands of pupils there. I went to see her. She's a Christian. And Miriam and I sat down for about an hour. And I explained the situation that we have a youth club here on Friday nights that has gone on for 12 plus years since we've been here. A wonderful, flourishing youth club, which probably if you compare it with the majority of churches across the whole of the London diocese, has not got a youth club of this size in this age group. But we've had to close it. We've had to close it because the teenagers became too difficult to manage. Their behavior was out of hand. And so because of their behaviors and their response to us, sadly, we've had to close a youth club that has had a significant ministry for a very long time. And we will not reopen it now, probably until January, when we will start afresh. And Miriam and I were reflecting, lamenting the fact that this youth club had to close. Very few like them across the whole of London. The government might talk about youth clubs, but I can tell you there are very few that actually really exist. This was one of them, a thriving ministry on a Friday night, partly because we've got wonderful facilities here and also phenomenal faithful workers. So all of us pray that the rumor of God doesn't disappear altogether. Be persistent in prayer. Maybe prayer doesn't mean anything to you. Maybe you just come to church and you just go home. Maybe a Bible is never opened up in your bedroom or in your kitchen or in your family. I pray that you will, because we need to return to Christian teaching. And I pray with the advice given to Timothy, stir up in you the gift of an evangelist. Because if you do not speak up and speak out for what is Christian, there will be other voices that are much more sinister. It says in our Jeremiah reading, on that day, they will know the Lord. On that day I will write the law in their hearts, and they will know the Lord. So to finish, in my family home in Wales, it was a wonderful home of hospitality run by my mum and dad. They became Christians just after the war. We would invite people there from all over the world who came, missionaries, people, for example, from the West Indies who came to stay with us in Wales for months, friends of the family, welcomed, very unusual for that time in the 50s. But my father used to ask one question within a relatively short time of anybody coming to our house and visiting. He would say to them, "Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord?" So whatever you're about today, a question for you based on Jeremiah, the searching question for you: do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Because it's only when we know the Lord that we really discover his power. And it's only when we know the Lord that we can turn around the changes that we are seeing in our nation, in our community, and in our youth clubs, if only we had them. Amen.
Let us pray. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We pray for the Church and for all Christian leaders around the world, and we seek that those who confess your name be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for our Bishop Luther. We pray for the Archdeacon Catherine and Lyndon R. Vicar. Lord, fill them with your wisdom and be beside them in all that they do. We pray for our own church leaders, the PCC members, and all those who help in our services. Thank you for the love and dedication they hold for you and for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless and guide all those in positions of authority. Give wisdom to all in authority and direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and seek the common good. We pray as always for peace in our world. At this time, we celebrate the advances made in the cessation of ceasefire in the conflict in Gaza. We pray that this will be the lasting peace, that those who held captive will be released, and those displaced can be allowed to return to their homes and bring to rebuild from the devastation and the destruction as they have been wrecked in the course of this conflict. May all those who have been leading the waving fractions become aware that the selflessness loss of this life and property that is caused in these wars. We pray for peace of our world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Bring peace to all who are ill and strengthen those who care for them. Be beside all those who give their names who give their time to tend to the needs of others. We pray for those listed in Starlink. We remember Earl Adams, Malcolm George, Emily Rockenham, Pam Story, Martin Vows, and Angela Zeruki. We ask that you surround them and us with your unfailing love. Living God, where there is sickness, turn weakness into strength, suffering into compassion, sorrow into joy, and pain into comfort. Help all who suffer to trust in your goodness and hope in your faithfulness. even in the middle of their suffering, let them be filled with the presence, with the patience and joy in your presence as they wait for your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear us as we remember those who have died recently in the faith of Christ or whose anniversary fall at this time. We pray for those listed in our star link, and we remember especially this morning Marian Udall, wife of Paul Udall, who is the original member of this church. We also remember those listed in Starlink. Jill Maynard, Michael Blanche, Louise Grayson, and Ruth Wolf. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. Comfort, we pray, all those who are grieving. Help us to remember and celebrate the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ have lived in this world and according to your promises. Grant us and them a share in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you that we can live in your light and walk in your truth. May the things that you have revealed and thoughts that we have shared dwell in our hearts and stir us to action. And so, Lord, rejoicing in the fellowship of St. Andrew's and all other saints, we commend ourselves and the whole creation to unfailing love. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son,
our Savior Jesus Christ.